In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I remember what we've been doing, that yesterday we spoke about the resurrection of Jesus, and there were two men on the road to Emmaus. They were leaving Jerusalem because they thought that Jesus was still dead, though they had heard a report from the women that he was alive, but they didn't believe it. And on the road, he explained to them the scriptures. And then they said to him, because it was getting dark, "Stay with us, Lord, for evening is coming." And he went and stayed with them. And then he broke the bread. Yes, he celebrated the Eucharist. He broke the bread. And they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. For the early church, the breaking of the bread was the Eucharist. And then they said, that as they looked back, "Were not our hearts burning within us as he explained the scriptures to us?" Oh, yes. I tell you that Jesus Christ is glorified through the word of God, and that Genesis to Revelation says one thing, Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, yes, it's about Jesus. I'm also looking now at John's gospel, that Jesus showed himself first to Mary Magdalene. As I said, love beckons Jesus. Then to the apostles, and finally in Galilee. I'm reading from the 15th chapter of St. Paul to the 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians verse 15. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received this gospel, and wherewith you stand." Oh, we are to stand in the presence of God in the gospel, "by which you also are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Jesus Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures," that's Isaiah 53, "and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures." So the gospel is that Jesus Christ has died for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose from the dead. That is the gospel. "And he was seen by Peter," or by Cephas, "then by the 12. After that, he was seen from above 500 men at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep." So he appeared to 500 people at that time. My Lord, we have to take a gaze at Jesus. And you know what Luke would say? When you are breaking the bread, you are meeting Jesus. When you are hearing the word of God, you are meeting Jesus. Oh, yes. I know people who have had visions of Jesus. I had a vision of Jesus myself on the cross, and it was very startling. It says that all men would hide their faces from I hid my face, because it was so awful what Jesus was going through. He was covered with flies. And I said, "Oh, Lord Jesus, I just can't look." And the scripture says that what had happened, you would cover your face. After that, he was seen by James, and then by the apostles. And last of all, he was seen by me, also as one born out of due time. What does that mean, one born out of due time? It means that he was an abortion and he was born. That's what it means. "For I am the least of the apostles." Why is he the least? "That I may not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. He is the least of the apostles because he persecuted the church of God, and in persecuting the people, he persecuted Jesus. But I'm telling you, he still is an apostle. And who made him an apostle? The Lord Jesus Christ himself made him an apostle. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. I'm asking you that the grace that God has given you, is it in vain that you're not doing the works of God? The graces that God has given you, are you using those graces? Today, I'm using the grace of preaching by the grace of God. Today, I didn't feel like coming today to preach, but you know what? I am using the grace of God that he has given me so that I can preach and so that you might believe and that you might be healed. I believe that. I believe that. But by grace, the grace of God, I am what I am. That means he's an apostle. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than them all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need preachers that will preach, the salvation message, that will preach the healing message, that will preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins, that he bled for us, that he was buried and on the third day rose from the dead. I'm telling you, the world needs to hear the gospel, and it needs to hear it through people who preach. Preaching is different than teaching. Today, I'm not teaching, I'm preaching. Sometimes they overlap. Today, I'm preaching, not teaching. But sometimes they overlap. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how are some of you saying among yourselves, there is no resurrection of the dead? Remember, the Pharisees believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees didn't. But if it were be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. In other words, Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection. First fruits tell us there's going to be a harvest. We are all going to rise from the dead and put on resurrection bodies. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is in vain. Hallelujah. If Christ is not risen from the dead, then we have worthless faith. It doesn't do anything. Yes, and we are found to be false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then Christ is not raised. He's telling you that Christ is the first fruit of the resurrection, but the first fruit calls for a harvest. When I eat the first tomato out of the garden, it's so sweet. But what does that first tomato tell me? There are going to be many more tomatoes in the harvest. So the harvest of reality is that Christ is raised from the dead. He is the first fruits of resurrection. And everyone who believes in him and have given their lives to him, they too, we too, shall rise from the dead. And St. Paul says, if that is not so, then Christ is not raised from the dead. For if the dead are not raised, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ is not raised, your faith is in vain. You're still in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ, they have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And that's reality. If we only have hope in this life of Christ, then we are the worst of men. But Christ is raised from the dead, and because he was raised from the dead, also everyone who have given their life to Jesus will be raised to a from the dead. And now is Christ risen from the dead. He became the first fruits of them that have fallen asleep in death. For since by man came death, by man also comes the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so that in Jesus Christ shall all be made alive. Oh yes, he's continually telling us that we will be raised from the dead. I remember burying somebody and we were putting his ashes in the ground, and the gravekeeper said, well, God's going to have a hard time putting this guy back together again. I said, no, I guess you don't know Jesus. I said, no, we all shall be raised from the dead, even this man. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after they that are Christ at his coming, and comes the end. Then comes the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign, Jesus, till he hath put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Hallelujah. There is going to be a time when there is no longer death. In the little movie, Heaven is for Real, the little boy said to his father, no one in heaven wears glasses. That's something that he noticed. No one in heaven. No, because we perfectly see. Oh, yes, I tell you. No one in heaven wears glasses. Or when Patrick had the vision of a pine grove, there were no pine needles on the ground. He said, Father Tom, wherever there is a pine grove, there are pine needles on the bottom of the earth. They fall off from the tree. I said, Patrick, Jesus is raised from the dead, and therefore in heaven nothing dies. Each pine needle had life, he said. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Hallelujah. There is a time coming in the resurrection when we shall all be resurrected, that death will not reign. Jesus has destroyed death through his cross, burial, and resurrection. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did not put all things under him. And when all things shall be subjected unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subjected unto him that put all things under him. That's the Father. That God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? Well, the church does not do that. We do not baptize for the dead, but the Mormons do. Why do you think you have this genealogy on the radio and asking, you know, you want to find out about your ancestry? Guess who's running it? The Mormons. And well, guess what they're doing? When you put the person of Uncle Jake, that he died 17 years ago, and Uncle Jake will be baptized for the dead by these Mormons. We don't baptize for the dead. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ our Lord. I die daily, St. Paul says. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage in me if the dead are not raised? I do not rise. Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. If the dead are not raised, then let's do what we need to do. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You see, people are saying now, I'm going to tell you why they were saying it. they were saying it because they were having relations with their body, and relations with women with their bodies. And they were saying, well, we're spiritual beings. Our bodies don't make a difference. Oh, yes, the body does make a difference because the body is the seed of the resurrection. Oh, yes, that's what St. Paul's going to tell us. The body is the seed of the resurrection. They just wanted to have sexual relationships with people. And they said, well, you know what? It makes no difference because bodies don't make a difference. I'm telling you, bodies make a difference. Jesus became a human being, and our bodies make a difference. We cannot fool around with our bodies because we are temples of the Holy Spirit. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? You fool, that which you sow is not quickened except it dies. So you plant a seed and it dies and it grows. And that which was sown, you sow not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or other grain. Let me tell you what it says. In other words, when you put a grain of wheat into the ground, the grain of wheat dies and it brings forth wheat. Now the wheat doesn't look like the grain, and he's saying that the body is that wheat grain, and you put it in the ground, and on the day of the resurrection this body shall look different than it did when it went into the ground. That's why Jesus was not recognized right away by the people, because he was the seed that went into the ground, and that seed died, and it bore the resurrected Christ. But the body is the seed of the resurrection. But God gives it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh for men, another kind of flesh for beasts, another kind of flesh for fish, another for birds. There are also celestial bodies, and there are terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, and another glory that one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. The body goes into the ground. It is raised in incorruption. That what went into the ground comes out like a branch of wheat, and it looks different than the seed. That's why Jesus looked different. They didn't realize it was Jesus until he said to Mary, and she knew the voice of the shepherd. So also the men that go fishing at the Sea of Tiberias, they didn't recognize Jesus. Why? Because his body went into the ground and it was raised incorruptible. He looked different, but they recognized him as he prepared breakfast for them. I'm telling you, resurrection is unlike what we have today. This is the seed. The body is the seed. That's why we should keep the body holy, because it is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The body is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised with power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So when Jesus said Mary, she thought he was the gardener until he used her name, Mary. And Jesus had a spiritual body now. But that spiritual body was from the physical body. The physical body went into the soil and into the grave, and it brought forth a spiritual body. And it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. In other words, Adam was a natural man. Jesus is the spiritual man. The first man is of the earth. That's Adam. The first man is of the earth. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, so also they that are earthy. And as it is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. In other words, we will be resurrected as Jesus was resurrected. And if we are not resurrected, then Jesus was not resurrected. He is the first fruits of resurrection. And our bodies shall be different. They shall be spiritual. They will not be natural bodies. That's why in heaven, everybody is young. Hallelujah. No one grows old. Glory to God. There are no pains in heaven. Glory to God. We are waiting for the resurrection of the body. We are waiting that one day we shall all rise from the dead and put on resurrection bodies. We shall put on, and those resurrection bodies are spiritual, and they differ from the body that we have now. But the body we have now is the seed of the resurrection. How many times must I say it? Because people say, why didn't people recognize Jesus? Well, because he had a spiritual body. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. Hallelujah. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and the mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, O death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so that's the end of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. What can we say? I can tell you this. You know, you have aching bones right now. You shall put on a spiritual body, and there'll be no aching bones. There'll be no sicknesses. There'll be nothing. Only the glory of God. Just want to bring you back to the first reading that we had on Holy Saturday. The first thing that God says is, let there be light. And there was light. That's the first day. But he did not make the sun and the moon at that time. What light filled the earth? It was his glory. The glory of God shining on the Son of God, on his face. It filled the earth with glory. That glory was the light of the earth. It went into the earth. I'm telling you, that's why people who are in the scriptures, we say they lived 118 years, because the glory hadn't worn off. Sin hadn't corrupted the earth so fully. So I'm telling you that there is a glory. The glory is the glory of God on the face of Jesus. And that glory is light. Yes, it is the light of God. He is the light of the world. He is the one that has conquered your sickness. He has conquered your death. He has conquered your mortality. He has conquered your unforgiveness. Oh, yes, that's why we must forgive people, because we do not want to be held back in heaven. We want to forgive everyone who's hurt us. We want to forgive them because Jesus said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So, Father, today, whoever we're holding a grudge about, we let them go because we want to set them free and set us free. Because, Jesus, this is what you desire. And we pray in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen. I need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. Yes, we need to use money now because we are still mortal. There'll be a day, a time when money is not going to be of any good use because we will be immortal in the resurrection of the dead. So please, if these broadcasts are a blessing to you, you write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Or you can go on to my website, www.inseason.net, www.inseason.net, and you can leave a donation on PayPal. I am very grateful to the people who have given, because we cannot do these broadcasts unless people respond in faith. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to thy word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.